All right, good morning. My name is Emily Keener, and like Randy said, today we're going to hear a little bit about the history of the mix at Arbor Place through Marvin Weaver and also through Rufus Tolbert, who is currently the director of the mix, director of development of the mix. So I had the pleasure at working at the mix when I was also working at No Longer Alone, and got to know Rufus a little bit there. So I'm excited to hear what he has to share, as well as what Marvin is going to share, and then Rufus is going to come up right afterwards. Just to introduce Rufus, so he and his wife go to Calvary Chapel of Lancaster right now, and he also teaches criminal justice at Lancaster Bible College. Something I really appreciated about working with Rufus when I was at the mix is no matter how busy our day was, Rufus would take time to come into the office area where I was sitting, probably a coffee in hand, and we would just chit chat, and it was just, some good times. We would often catch up. It didn't matter, you know, both our days would be packed full, but you could always count that we were at least going to get to connect. So I really appreciated that. I also could very evidently see how much Rufus cared about the students, and I'm sure he'll be telling much more about that, but just a very genuine love and care for the students there in the southeast of Lancaster. So I'm going to read the scripture that Rufus picked out, which is very fitting. I encourage you to pay attention and listen to some of these words as we hear from Marvin, and then we also hear from Rufus. So 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 through 7. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you came to believe as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives growth. So Marvin, I want you to come up.
In 1975, I became the pastor of Laurel Street Mennonite Church, which is a little white church on the hill in the city of Lancaster called Cabbage Hill. By 1983, there were numerous people coming to know the Lord and wanting to have some different kind of fellowship rather than going to the bars and the clubs on the weekends. We didn't have much activity going on at the church at that time. Many of us who were part of the church had our own family connections, and we would get together and play games. I began dreaming about a possibility of a fellowship house where people could just stop in and play games with one another, listen to music, chit-chat, drink coffee, whatever, just have a fun time. At the same time, now we had some youth leaders, one of them being Rob Martin, who was very involved in recruiting youth from the community to engage in basketball games. Rob was so committed to that, and there were few basketball courts available in the city, so Rob came out here to Locust Grove Mennonite School and Lancaster Mennonite High, and out of his own pocket, he rented the gyms so that he could play basketball with his kids. I began thinking, you know, if we had a facility in town, we could recruit more kids. We could have more basketball games. So I'm talking about this at home. And my good wife said, if you think that's a good idea, why don't you do something about it? She's been good at encouraging me like that all through the years. So in 1983, I presented a proposal to the District of Mennonite Churches in Lancaster City. There were eight congregations. I knew that this project that I was dreaming about was too big for one congregation, and I thought it should be a community city project. We presented it to the pastor's group. They said, yeah, looks like a nice idea, and nothing happened. The next meeting, I said to them, I'm serious about this. I want us to do something. So then they said, well, why don't you invite people who are interested from the district to come to a meeting to talk about the possibilities. So we announced the meeting at Laurel Street Church, and between 40 and 50 people showed up. There were people from each of the eight congregations, and there was enthusiasm from this group. Then the minister group said, okay, we will appoint a committee, and they appointed a committee of five people and authorized us to go ahead and explore the possibilities of starting some kind of community center. So we organized. We first sought to choose a name. The name that arose was Arbor Place Christian Community Service. We organized a contest among the city churches for designing a logo, and we had maybe a dozen entries. Liz Hess presented the winning logo. Liz Hess was then, she's now a professional artist, but she was then in high school. She gave us a logo, which was used for many years, and now that the Arbor Place is called the Mix at Arbor Place, it's redesigned, but it has some of the same original ideas. There was an arbor, which indicated a place of protection. There was a vine growing on the arbor, which indicated growth. There was the outline of the city behind the arbor and the sun rising behind that city, indicating new life and light coming into this dark city. We formed bylaws. We organized as a nonprofit organization so we could receive contributions. At this time, we had Zippo in the cash drawer. We just had an idea and many interested people. We started to look for buildings, and we looked at many, many buildings. Finally, Emily's dad and a friend of his that owned some garages across the street from Laurel Street Mennonite Church said, we'll sell you these garages and you can tear them down and build your building. We said, well, that might be a good idea. So we considered that possibility. On our board was Dale Kaufman, who is a registered architect in town. So he would come to the next meeting with a whole drawing all set up. So we organized a benefit dinner and talked to people about the possibility of building a facility at this location. That benefit dinner raised $6,000. We thought we were doing pretty well, but we knew we couldn't build a facility for $6,000. We needed zoning changes for this location, and the neighborhood became very angry about the possibility of us putting a community center in that area. They didn't want that. They saw on our proposal that one of the things we said was counseling, and all they could think of was drug and alcohol counseling. And so they began believing that there would be drug addicts that would be flocking to our center and be breaking into people's homes and raping their women. And so they didn't want us there. So we began looking at other possibilities. We found a location behind Conlin Field, a ball field that is behind the Water Street Mission. We thought, well, this was a good place. Right behind the field, there's already a lot of activity and noise in this community. So we proposed to buy that abandoned roller skate factory. And again, we needed zoning change. 40 people showed up at the zoning hearing to oppose us, and they were angry. They yelled at us, they shook their fists in our faces and said, take this so-and-so community center and put it out in a cornfield. We don't want it in our community. The zoning board reluctantly had to turn us down, but they said, why don't you schedule a meeting in the community with these people and try to explain what it is that you really want to do. So we organized called a meeting at the location of this building. Again, 40 to 50 people showed up, and it almost created a riot. People were very angry, yelling nasty things at us, getting right in our faces, and so we felt defeated. Little did we know that there was a newspaper reporter there that evening at the meeting, and the next morning, on the back page of Lancaster newspaper was an article about this proposal of a community center. And on second thought, we looked at each other and said, we got free advertising. This spread all over the community. Now thousands of people know about us. We began getting calls from people who said, what is it that you want to do there in Lancaster? How can we help you? And we were encouraged. So we continued to look for buildings. Finally, we found the bag and burlap warehouse, where the location of Arbor Place is now, in the southeast area. Before we decided to buy that, we canvassed the community and asked the neighbors, what do you think about this possibility? Not one person said no. Many, many people said, you mean the Mennonite churches want to come and start a community center? Come on, how can we help you? And we felt welcomed. Now, this building needed a lot of work, so there was a lot of labor done over the next couple of years. And in 1985, Arbor Place officially opened, and we're now approaching our 35th year. That scripture that Emily read was very apropos. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. I planted, many people watered. There were many Apolloses and continue to be Apolloses. And Arbor Place has grown now to a facility far beyond my dreams. And Rufus will tell us about that.
Good morning. I love that story. And as the director of development at the Mix, my job basically is to go out and tell people about the Mix, get them excited about it, and then hit them up for money. So I like having a good story to tell because, you know, it's all up to God whether or not somebody gives. But what I do want to be able to do is to give them something really good, make it a tough decision for them. No, I don't want to give money, or how could I say no? You know, how can I refuse? And hearing Marvin tell that story, I could hear him tell it 100 times and still be amazed. So thank you for having me. Thank you overall, Randy, Emily. Thank you for that introduction. And then, you know, it's just a blessing to be here amongst God's people. Just to tell a little bit about what it is that I do and a little bit about how the work that's being done for the kids there, how it's continuing on after the planting and the watering. And of course, I look at, you know, myself as being somebody who's doing that watering, doing something to continue to work and inspire that growth. But ultimately, it comes down to what God's going to do. So if you can see the logo, it looks vastly different than the original logo. So Marvin's right. We've made some changes. But the bones are still there. That structure is still there. You see the star instead of just the sun rising. And then the community is covering a child who is reaching for something more, inspiring more. And at the Mix... Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to have this up here already. At the Mix, our daily vision is inspiring local youth to thrive. And so when you hear the story about young people in inner cities and things that they go through, a lot of times what you often find is that surviving gets to be the goal. Just getting through a day, just getting through a week. Let's get through this season and then see what happens. And I can tell those stories myself. I'm here in Lancaster County today because I got just enough inspiration to do more than survive. And I remember a gentleman approaching me at a bus stop, and it had to be God. He was asking me about my life. I was a junior in high school, and he was saying, you know, okay, it sounds like you're an intelligent guy, and what are your plans? And I really didn't have any plans. And he said, you're cruising, son. You need to turn it on and actually pick a direction. And so when I had an opportunity to apply for those three free college applications, I went ahead and did them. And one of them was Millersville University, and they said yes. Blew my socks off. I had no idea I was really going to go to college. I knew I was smart enough, but my family didn't have much in terms of resources. And so I went ahead and filled out the applications for student loans and things like that. And I also went to the military and took the ASVAB test, just trying to, you know, pad my chances there. Not going to college, maybe I'll go into the military. And the day the recruiter showed up on my door because I scored so well for the military exam, I was reading the letter from Millersville saying I was accepted. And I said, I'm going to college. I don't want to go into the military. And God is good, because that was 1988. Roll forward 2 or 3 years and you have your first Desert Storm situation. And so many guys from my neighborhood went off to war and didn't make it back those years. And I would have been about 21 then. So I came up to Millersville and fell in love with the idea of helping other people. I was at school. I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I knew I wanted to come to Millersville to be rich, you know, to learn how to become a rich businessman. But I didn't know what that looked like. I didn't have any examples around me. All of the males in my family were either in jail, work a day, you know, workmen like my grandfather, or sadly gone from living lives that young men lead that don't take them very far. But I got to Millersville, and somebody invited me into Lancaster to speak to a group of young guys who were on probation at the courthouse. And I said, yeah, you know, I'll go. And I took 3 or 4 friends with me, and that inspired us to go and start a mentoring program for young African-American males on campus, and then for us all to lean on each other and continue to try. And when we did that, 3 or 4 of us went farther than any of us imagined, and almost all of us graduated. And so eventually I dropped business, I went into sociology, and became a criminal justice major and a probation officer. And that's a whole different story, but it's been 20 years, and I'm really blessed by that. So I've stumbled into the mix because I was in a community, I was a new Christian, and the church I attended, Bethel AME Church, right down on Strawberry Street, was, they had a few partnerships with some of the Mennonite churches. And my pastor, if any of you know Reverend Ed Bailey, there's no way you can tell him no for anything. And so he asked me if I would get involved with this little coalition, and I said, sure. And that little bit of activity turned into my partnering with them for different things, and I got involved with the mix. And so it's kind of hard to explain this without going forward. So let's just go, and we'll just say, what is the mix? And I have to tell people, it's a youth development center, as opposed to it being a rec center or being just a youth program in somebody else's bigger organization. We're dedicated to what we do with kids 100% of the time. So there's a ton of different things that happen, and it's all about the kids all the time. And it's right there, as Marvin said, right in the southeast area, hidden gem. You can't find it if you're just driving around. Emily can attest to that. And the honest truth is, there are people who live 2 blocks away or 3 blocks around the corner, and they've never even seen the building. It's this beautiful building, and you'll get a chance to see it. And so it was originally known as the Arbor Place. He said the Christian Community Service. I've always known it as the Teen Center, Arbor Place Teen Center. So that kind of goes to show you. But in the documentation for what they, when they applied for the charter and everything, the Christian service is definitely there. So founded in 1984, and if you can think back to 1984 in inner cities, we're talking tough, tough times. crack had swept through neighborhoods, tore families apart, and many inner cities, including my hometown in Philadelphia, West Philadelphia, looked like they had been bombed out, like we were the war zone instead of it being overseas in Iraq or somewhere. The crack epidemic and different things that happened just devastated communities. And so in 84, this group of people just trying their best to provide a little bit of light, it's just amazing to me that they had the courage to go there when people were worried about driving down a city block and coming out of the other end with their lives, you know, intact. So Pastor Weaver, and then I always say, and his friends. And of course, I include his wife in that because obviously she sacrificed the time that he was giving. And everybody who put that good effort in, and I love the story that he gave us. I always say that your friends help get things done. And Pastor Weaver and crew, they got it all started, but of course, they did it with the help of their friends. So this building here you're seeing behind me is the original building. If you can take away the placard with the logo that's on the building, that's it. And off to the side on the left side of that picture was the bigger warehouse portion of it. And they had these dreams of turning this thing into some kind of skate park and all these different things. And it was just unwieldy. Now, you see the basketball paint lines there. And he mentioned how basketball was pretty popular then. Well, my main involvement with it came due to collaborations with the churches. But I also had a friend, tragically, in 98, about 99, his son died of meningitis. And he was 9 years old, and, you know, it was just tough on all of us. We were all young Christians, young parents. And when he spent about a year grieving, he decided to go over to Arbor Place and ask, is there any way I can get involved? And they had tons of things going on inside the building, but the building itself was only big enough to hold about 40 kids, maybe, kind of packed. And so he said, why don't you go out there and do basketball out in the, you know, in the parking lot? You know, we have plenty of space. We're full inside. Why don't you go and do that? Well, he went ahead and he did that. And he started out with a summer league this first year, and there were six teams. And those six teams, two middle school teams and four high school teams. And he actually asked me to be coach of one of the middle school teams. It was the leftovers. So after everybody picked their teams, they got the last couple of kids to be on teams anyway. That was me coaching these guys. I wasn't a good coach, and they weren't good players. It was just an interesting summer. But what happened is during that time, the people were standing on each other's, looking over each other's shoulders to watch the action. And you can't really get a shot of it, a sense of it from this shot, but the parking lot ends and the street is right there. There's not a whole lot of space. There's no seating. There's nothing like that. You just have to cram in. Well, by the end of the summer, and this was just 6 weeks, they ended up having maybe 150 people lined around this basketball court checking out the action. So they did it again the next year, and they were selling water, selling hot dogs, more popular. And instead of just six teams, the next year they had 10. The next year they had close to 20. And then by the fourth year, there were people driving church vans across the state to participate in the Arbor Place Summer League. And that gave them the understanding. Sorry about that. That gave them the understanding that this place had room for more growth, not just in terms of programming, but physically as well. And so they went ahead and they tore down the old building, and this is the building that exists there now. So I invite you guys to come and see what it is that we do. Number one, have Emily draw a map for us all so we can find it, because it truly is tucked away in a spot that you wouldn't really find. If you're heading down South Duke Street and you know where that Turkey Hill is there, across from the school there, we're about two blocks tucked around behind the Turkey Hill, and it's this beautiful building, 17,000 square feet. And not only do we have a big, beautiful gym where we can do basketball, but we host a whole bunch of things. And so now, instead of just basketball, you can look on this list, and I'll just tap a couple of things real quick. And it's, we have wrestling, we have tennis, we have soccer that all take place in this gym. People come by for gardening. We have arts programs where not only are they teaching the kids arts and crafts, but we have a resident artist who's going to start working with the kids in the next couple weeks, and they're going to be doing a mural that will honor one of the pillars of the community, Nelson Polite Sr., if any of you know that name. And this mural will be across the street, and the kids will actually help with this mural. Looking through that list, you can see archery, you see dance, there's hip-hop dance and shadow dancing. I don't know if any of you have seen any of that shadow dancing on YouTube. Pretty amazing stuff that they do. There's somebody teaching that now. Rescue Horse Camp at the top of the right column there. Our kids went to a little bit of a horse camp experience last summer. Loved it. And now this is a full-time program that teaches the kids about their own mental health by helping to care for traumatized horses. So we have some fantastic things going on in the building. And I just want you to know that it's, you know, it's more than just a youth center. It's a whole experience, and we're teaching these kids some great stuff. So kids 7 to 17, we're working with 15 different schools in the school district of Lancaster right now. And we do it, when I mentioned friends, with the help of individual donors, churches, businesses, volunteers, and many of the things that we offer are programs that walk in the door and say, hey, can we contribute? Can we teach your kids this or teach them that? Our answer is always yes. It's just according to God's timing. But that watering that goes on is amazing. So again, all of our friends help us to do what we do. And so friends like Whitmer Heights allow me to come, tell the story, and I just invite you guys, number one, come and see with your own eyes exactly what we do. Beautiful building, beautiful people, and then, of course, you see all those smiling faces. And then the way that we ask the churches and our businesses and individuals to kick in, time, talent, and treasure. You know, Marvin mentioned that they got that first $6,000, and they thought, woo-hoo, you know, well, to run a 17,000 foot square foot building, we need a little bit more than $6,000. We need your help. And that really is part of the reason I'm here. So we have a champions campaign where you can be an individual donor, where you give monthly. And so we ask you to consider joining up for that. That's an online thing. So you don't even have to think about sending a check out, but if you want to send a check on a regular basis, that's fine too. And then, we just ask you to consider as a church, if you want to come in and volunteer. We have churches that come in and serve meals. We have people who come in and serve in ways where they teach different skills. And so you can come in as a church body as well and just give us what you got. You know, God's given you something, and he's given us our blessings to be able to pass them on. So we're just asking you to bless them, bless us as well. There was a video right here, and I'm going to pass on that. We got one more? Okay. All right. I apologize. The video was, I had to pass on that, but there was one more. It was like a thank you screen. But I thank you for your time. I thank you for all the help that we've gotten from you in the past. And I look forward to continuing to partner with you. Thank you very much. God bless you.